Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Well, congratulations to all of you who have listened through the entire Sermon on the Mount series. This is broadcast number 313 on the Sermon on the Mount. It's taking us a while. We're just now getting to chapter 7, so we begin chapter 7 today. Matthew chapter 7 starts with the famous verse, "Judge not, lest you be judged." Judge not, our culture's favorite two words in the Bible, judge not. But by condemning all judgment, are they passing judgment on God's law? What kind of judging is forbidden, and what kind is essential?
For hundreds of years, the people of God had been eagerly awaiting this descendant of David who would arrive and set up his kingdom, the divine kingdom. And when that king finally did arrive, 2,000 years ago, he preached a sermon that would become the most famous sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. We've been studying this sermon. The topic of the Sermon on the Mount is righteousness. It's a sermon about righteousness, specifically what righteousness looks like in this kingdom. He began with some instruction about the role of the law. And then in the rest of chapter 5, it was all about righteousness and relationships. What does righteousness look like in this kingdom when it comes to personal relationships? Then in chapter 6, he moved to righteousness and religion. What does righteousness look like in this kingdom when it comes to religious observance? Things like prayer and fasting and giving. Then at the end of chapter 6, it was righteousness and resources. What does righteousness look like in this kingdom when it comes to dealing with money and possessions and stuff? That's where we left off last week. Now we start chapter 7, and Jesus moves to the fourth area, righteousness and sinners. What does, in this kingdom, what does it look like for a righteous person to deal with a sinner? And Jesus begins very negatively. He tells us what not to do. Jesus says, when it comes to judging, don't. Verse 1, do not judge. So the king arrives and he sets this kingdom up. He says, in my kingdom, no judging. I don't want you judging each other. Now, what does that mean? No judging. I mean, I can tell you what our culture wants that to mean. Matthew 7:1 in our culture has become like a mantra. Judge not, lest you be judged. Who are you to judge? Don't ever pass judgment. Nobody judge anybody, anything. Our culture hates all moral evaluation. Don't they? So they would take Jesus' words here to mean it just pushed them into an absolute law. No judging. Just shut your brain off when it comes to ethics altogether and don't make any distinctions of any kind about moral things. Don't ever say anything is wrong. Don't ever say anything's evil or sin. And don't ever use the word ought when it comes to moral obligation. Just accept everyone as they are, unconditionally. Don't even ever so much as believe that something that somebody else did is wrong. That's really the spirit of our age. And it's not surprising. You get a whole bunch of people who want to ignore God, ignore His law, ignore His word, and just obey Him, do whatever they please. The last thing they're going to want is somebody walking around making moral judgments and reminding them of what God has said. But is that what Jesus is prohibiting here? Is that what he's saying? No, it's not what he's saying. We know that for sure because of what he says. He goes at the end of this section, right there in verse 6. He warns us about people who are dogs and pigs. And then later he tells us to watch out for false prophets and that we'll know them by their fruit. Obviously, we've got to be able to discern who are the dogs, who are the pigs, who are the false prophets. You got to make judgments. In fact, in other contexts, Jesus actually commands us to judge. Use the same word, John 7:24. Stop judging by mere appearances and make right judgments. Commanded to judge. In chapter 18 of Matthew, he's going to tell us in verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go to him and show him his fault. So not only do you judge him to be in the wrong, but you actually confront him about it. We had a woman that came to our church a while back and was appalled when she found out we were carrying out church discipline. She says, I don't think we should ever do that. We just need to show love. Just always show love. Love everybody.
You know what God's Word says about that? Leviticus 19:17 says, agrees, love everybody. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Do not hate your brother in your heart. You say, how's that? Next sentence. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you will not share in his guilt. Don't hate him, rebuke him. What that's saying is, it's not an act of love. If you see someone who's in sin and you fail to rebuke that person, then that's not an act of love. That's an act of hatred, according to God's Word. Scripture is loaded with commands that we make judgments, make moral evaluations. 1 John 4:1, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Philippians 3:2, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil. We're constantly told to make moral judgments. People that say that we should judge nothing, really it's silliness. It's a self-refuting belief. It's one of the easiest things to refute because it refutes itself. If I'm going around judging, if I'm passing judgments, and they point to me and condemn me and say I'm wrong for doing that, what are they doing? They're judging me. They make the judgment that all judgment is wrong, and in their judgment, nobody should be making judgments because they judge that all judgments are judgmental, except for their passing judgment on my judgmentalism. It's the same double standard, hypocritical, self-refuting error that postmodern people always make when they try to say that there are no absolutes. I always want to ask those people, are you absolutely sure? They are. They're sure. There's nothing that you can be sure of. And they rule out all rulemaking, and they speak out against speaking out, and they pass judgment on judging. They're the biggest example of the log in your own eye that you could possibly want. What Jesus is calling for in this text is graciousness, not blindness. Not moral blindness. To look at something that God calls sin and pretend that it's not sin is blindness. That, according to Ephesians 4, is a mark of infantile immaturity. Ephesians 4:14 describes undiscerning people like infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching. That is not a good thing. To be undiscerning. Discernment and judgmentalism are not the same thing. They're two different things. It's never wrong to be discerning. It's never wrong to repeat something that God has said. You can just see this in a natural realm. If the powers that be say that it's in the school zone, you're not allowed to drive more than 30 miles an hour or 20, and you're riding in a car with me as we're zooming along 60 miles an hour through a school zone, and you lean over to me and say, Daryl, that's against the law. You're not passing judgment on me, right? You're not legislating anything. You're just relaying information to me. That's not judging. If I go out and say stealing is wrong, I'm not passing judgment. God already passed judgment on stealing. All I'm doing is passing along the information. So it's never sinful judging if all you're doing is just simply letting somebody know what God has already said. That's not sinful judgment. In fact, if you fail to do that, that is sinful judgment. That is a kind of judging. You say, what? How's that? Think about it. If God says that someone's guilty, if He declares a certain group of people guilty, and I hide that fact, if I make that person feel like he's okay with God and he's not guilty and he's perfectly all right, I'm acting like a higher court who's overturning the judgment that God made in his lower court when he declared that person guilty. And so I'm passing judgment on God. It is judgmental not to be discerning. See that? So if I stand up here and preach against homosexual behavior and say that it's sin, it's perverse. If I say abortion is murder, and the world says, who are you to judge? My answer is, I'm nobody. I'm absolutely nobody. I'm not, nor am I judging anything. Those things are wrong, not because of my opinion. My opinion is irrelevant. They're wrong just because God said they're wrong. The only thing that makes something good or bad is if God says it's good or bad. And if we just simply pass that information on, that's good. If we fail to pass it along, or if we twist it or pervert it, then that's wrong. So, all that to make it clear what Jesus isn't saying. He's not saying throw out all discernment. He's not saying turn off your brain. He's not forbidding evaluations and distinctions and judgments. In the days to come, we'll take a careful look at the kind of judgmentalism that Jesus is forbidding here. But it's important at the outset to make sure we don't make the same mistake as the secular culture is making with these words, judge not. The words judge not can be misused in a lot of ways. Sometimes it's used to hide sin. Don't judge me really means ignore my sin, right? Other times it's a way of ignoring the pangs of conscience. Rather than dealing with our own sin, we point the finger at all the judgmental finger pointers out there and say, well, that's just judgmentalism, and therefore we have an excuse to ignore our conscience. Other times it's a way of avoiding difficult moral questions. We say, oh, to get hung up about that more, that's judgmentalistic, it's legalistic, and so we don't deal with it. And one more way this verse is abused, it's when we use it as an excuse to avoid confronting someone who really needs a rebuke. It's so easy to just avoid the conflict and tell ourselves, I don't want to be judgmental, and so I'm not going to confront him. But Scripture is very clear. If we fail to rebuke someone in our circle who is wandering away, God will hold us responsible. On the other hand, anyone who turns a sinner from the error of his ways saves him from death and covers over a multitude of sins, according to James 5:20. Be honest with yourself. Are there any areas where you have misused the judge not command? Or are there any areas where you need to exercise the right kind of judgment more?
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.